I don't know whether you ever have any embarrassing moments. If we had plenty of time, we could go around and find a few people's embarrassing stories. I've got plenty. One of the things I like to do is to wear clothes out, and socks in particular. And you know, there comes the point where you think, can I get an extra day out of this pair of socks, even though there's a hole in it? There's a hole in one of them. And very often you can get away with it till you suddenly find yourself and you're in that queue where they say laptops out of the bag, tablets out of the bag, shoes off, sir. And you're thinking, oh no, here I am. I'm in a suit, tie and everything. And, you know, you've got a hole in the sock. And then you're thinking, well, it's probably not going to be good to try and go through security like this, because that's bound to get me arrested. And so you just have to do the walk of shame with the big toe showing. And that's quite, I mean, it's embarrassing. It's not that bad. And today we're going to hear about someone who probably was in a pretty embarrassing situation. One of those which is not just laughed off, but maybe really felt, oh my word, what has happened. But as James said, we're going through the book of Luke. Luke is one of the books in the Bible. It was written by a guy named Luke. He's actually up there in the stained glass window. He probably never met Jesus. It's a story of his time and the life of Jesus. And then he wrote a sequel of the time after Jesus lived. But what we do know is that he, as well as being a physician, he probably talked to lots and lots of people who had known Jesus. And he was very thorough in the way that he went about things. And so we're going to be looking at the next episode. I mean, it's not quite a boxed set yet. So we're on 19 out of 24, so just 5 to go before the box set comes out. And really, I've called this Now and Not Yet. And that will become a little clearer. But as in good, all good television series, you need to know what happened the last episode, just as a reminder to get you going. Now, the last episode, Fiona brought us about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, as a little while ago. So I've got a few reminders on here what happened in the last episode. And there were a number of stories that we looked at, and one of them was about this guy. There was a Pharisee. He was a big religious guy. And there was a tax collector. He was unpopular, not just because he was a tax collector, and we'll come on to a bit more of that later. And he went into, they were praying, and the Pharisee, the religious guy, said, "Dear God, I'm amazing, I do all these good things." And the tax collector, who was pretty unpopular, said, "There's nothing worthy in me, please forgive me." And Jesus said, "I tell you, this man," the guy who was repentant, who said, "I'm no good, effectively, I cannot meet God's standard," was justified before God. So that was one of the little stories. And then there was a little bit about the children, very appropriate on a day we have a dedication. And Jesus said, he said, "Unless someone receives the kingdom of God like a child, they can't enter it." Now, just to be clear, that means childlike, not childish, and there's a great deal of difference. But unless you have that simple acceptance, like a child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Hold on to these themes, because the previous week it's important to keep all these things together. Then there was a young man who came who was extremely rich, very wealthy, and he said to Jesus, "Okay, what do I need to get into the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus said, "You need to keep all the commandments, do everything right." He said, "Done that." And so Jesus said to him, "Well, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Well, in emoji speak, the face was a big, oh dear. Because it says he went away very sad. He went away very sad because he couldn't separate himself from his earthly riches and the importance. And then the last bit is that Jesus said, or almost the last bit, Jesus said to his disciples, "We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to the capital city. And not only are we going to the capital city, but then it's all going to happen." He said, "I'm going to be killed. on the third day I'll be raised from the dead. But we are going to Jerusalem, the hotbed of where political unrest, where the dangerous place to be, we're on our way. And I want you to remember all those things because they all have an impact on this next episode. And by now, the disciples and Jesus are in a place called Jericho. At the end of the previous episode, he'd healed a blind man in going into Jericho. And this is Jericho today. It's an ancient city. It's possibly the oldest city in the world. It's also the lowest city in the world. It's 250 meters below sea level. And if you know your geography, it's not far from the Dead Sea. And so the area is very desert-like. That's Jericho today, and you can see lots of desert around there. And the story that we're going to look at is at this point. And so we're now going to read just a short bit of it. So it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus looked up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I love this story. I'm sure that Luke must have met Zacchaeus, because he mentions him by name. And that probably means that in the time after Jesus was around, people would know Zacchaeus and said, oh yeah, we know Zacchaeus. One of the traditions is that Zacchaeus ended up as a bishop and a leader in the church. We don't know. We don't know at all. But I love this story because it's so full of humor and it's full of such an extraordinary response. But first of all, who was Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was rich and he was powerful. At the time, the Romans were in charge. There was a puppet king. We'll come back to him later. But the Romans were in charge, and the Romans, like all good occupying forces, like some money. They like taxes, and the way they extracted taxes is that in each area, there would be a bunch of soldiers and a garrison, and they would say to the local people, we need this much tax. And they would appoint local people of the Jewish community to gather that tax. Now, none of us likes paying tax. None of us likes paying tax when the deal is, the Romans say, we'll protect you, we'll watch your back, you give us this amount, anything else, extra, that's yours, you can keep it. So it was a very, very nice little earner. Didn't get left with many friends, fairly unpopular, and the religious people thought complete traitors because you were serving the Roman occupying forces. But this guy wanted to see Jesus. I wonder why. I wonder what it was about Jesus that said, I really want to see him. And he went out of his way. Now, it says he wasn't very tall, but he climbed a tree, for heaven's sake. This man climbed a tree. That's what the sort of tree it would be. And I had a look at this. Now, in those times, people didn't run. They didn't climb trees. That was not very dignified at all. And yet something drove this man Zacchaeus to say, I need to see this person, Jesus. And so he got up in the tree. I wonder if he thought he was hidden. The leaves are reasonably large, but I suppose you think you can get in there, I can have a quick look and I can have a sneaky look without being spotted. And then Jesus comes along and stops right under the tree and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down." His cover was completely blown. I was trying to think about how you could stay cool in those circumstances. "Oh, yeah, oh, fancy meeting you. Yeah, I just happened to be up here chasing the cat." I can't think of it. Anyone can come up with a good suggestion of how you remain cool when you are a dignified local celebrity and you're caught up a tree. Please let me know. We'll have a competition. I'll work out who can give me the best way of being cool. But this guy could not in any way stay cool. In fact, they probably all laughed at him. It was probably a massive humiliation and extremely embarrassing for poor old Zacchaeus. Here he was, not any old tax collector, the chief tax collector. And there he is, up a tree. How embarrassing. And Jesus says to him, "Come down." Now, what is amazing is that in verse 6, it says he happily responded. He was happily responded, went to his house. They probably had a sort of open house with lots of people coming in, and everyone pitching up. And, you know, to start with, we have no record of Jesus saying, "Right, here's my preach. I'm going to give my preach. I've got however long I've got. And I'm going to do the preach, and then Zacchaeus is going to say something." Everyone came. There was some muttering from the locals. "Yeah, this guy's a rotten lot. What on earth is Jesus doing here?" But he stands up, and he does the bit. And for a tax collector, when I was a small boy, I never could work this out. I thought, this guy's a tax collector. He does numbers. I'm sure we've got some accountants in here. I know we have. How come if you give away half, and if you fiddled everyone, you then give four times, surely you've got nothing left? How does that work? And I always wondered about that, but there was probably some tax relief in there or something that got it sorted out. But the point is that Zacchaeus stood up, he didn't wait for anything and said, "This is what I'm going to do." This is what he said. He said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Isn't it interesting? Do you remember what happened in the previous episode? Jesus told the story about the tax collector and the Pharisee. Look, here's a tax collector in the next episode. He talked about the rich young ruler who went away sad because he couldn't separate himself from his wealth. He couldn't separate himself from that. And yet here's a guy standing up, giving half away, four times everything I've cheated. And isn't it interesting when he talked about accepting the kingdom of God like a little child, Zacchaeus, instead of staking up the tree, making all sorts of excuses why he happened to be up there, he accepted it like a child. Gladly, just as a child will accept a gift without thinking of any of the add-ons or anything else. And you know, Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come." Salvation, hope, freedom from all that has weighed him down. Freedom to be the person that God made him to be. Effectively entering the kingdom of God as one of his people. You know, Jesus still fascinates people today. People are still fascinated by Jesus, just like Zacchaeus was. Maybe that's you. Maybe there's something about Jesus you just can't let go. Maybe it's as if Jesus is stopping under your tree right now, where you're hiding, and he's saying to you, "Come down. I want to come around your place." Today, maybe the day. Maybe you've always been kind of interested, but you've never really taken that final step of faith. You've never really said, "Now I need to move on." Maybe you're a Christian already, but you're kind of a bit embarrassed. So to some degree, you're still up the tree. You're a little afraid of looking foolish. Zacchaeus stood up, made a public profession. Maybe in your life you've got to a certain stage as your life as a Christian, you've kind of stopped. Maybe you've never stood up. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you've never really taken God seriously. He's kind of been there and you know he's there, but you've never really taken it on. Today could be the day. Or maybe you're like Zacchaeus in that your lifestyle, your choices, your possessions are kind of getting in the way. What your ambitions, what you want to be, who you are getting in the way. Are you going to be like the rich young ruler, or will you be like Zacchaeus? Maybe today is the day to act. Today is the day to think about this. Today is the day of salvation. So all this has happened, pretty dramatic really, and then Jesus starts to talk. Then he starts his sermon. And he tells a story which we don't often look at, and we're going to try and rattle through it. It's called the parable of the 10 miners. And it's a little like the parable of the talents, which we often have and we go to more often. But this is a more difficult story because it starts off by saying, first of all, as Fiona said, he said the great thing about this parable is he tells us what it's about. Now that really helps us because as we see, we're in Luke chapter 19 if you want to look at it and see there, he says, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. We'll come back to that. He thought it was going to happen immediately, clearly wasn't. And he tells a story about a king who goes away to become king, which is very strange. He goes to a distant country to be appointed king. How weird. How weird is that? And that some of his subjects hated him. And that before he goes, he gave 10 servants all the same amount of money and said, look, make some money of that. We'll use this to do well with it. And then eventually he comes back. And the story only gets through the first 3 servants. The first one, he says he's done times 10. Says, oh, well done. Then what next says times 5. And then the next says, oh, well, I didn't do anything because I was a bit frightened. I thought you were harsh. And the king takes it away from him and says, no, that's no good. What is this story all about? So there's lots of levels in this story. But first of all, just to try and help you understand it a bit, or help us understand it a bit. The guy on the left, that's Herod, King Herod. You know, King Herod in the Christmas story, the nasty piece of work, who I can tell you came to a very, very sticky end. We don't need to go into the details now, it's Sunday. But he came to a bad end. But he was kept in power by the Romans, and he had 2 sons. Those are the 2 geezers on the right. And what had to happen is in order them to be appointed king of areas where the Romans were, they had to go off to Rome to be approved by Caesar. So they had to spend some time away from the country in order to be appointed king. Ah, now the story makes sense because everyone there would have known exactly what this was about the combination of the king having to go away and not being there as king, but he was coming back. And actually, this is really pretty much what Jesus, a parallel with Jesus, because Jesus is not with us right now. He has gone away in one sense, but is returning. There are some people who do not want him as king. There are servants who have been entrusted with money to grow the kingdom, or to have been entrusted to grow the kingdom while he is away physically. And the story tells us that some were successful, some did well, and some didn't. Why did he tell this story right then? I'll tell you why he told the story right then. is because Jesus is about, as we said before, he's about to embark on his trip to Jerusalem. This was going to be the focal point of history. Jesus was going to be crucified and put to death. And he knew that. He said it. And as a result of that, after 3 days after that, he would be raised from the dead. And that would secure salvation. A hope for each of us individually. A hope for Zacchaeus. A hope for us that we can be put right with God. And that our own personal situation can be completely transformed. And that can happen today. But at the same time, he knew that the fullness of the kingdom was going to be some time away. That when everything gets sorted out was the future. And it was going to be the future for the disciples, and it's the future for us still. And he was telling his disciples, you know, of the 12 disciples, as far as we know, that were with him, if they were all with him in Jericho, one committed suicide, that was Judas. 10, as far as we know, were martyred. And only one lived to old age, and that in exile. Jesus knew everything was not going to be perfect after Easter. There was a period when he was going to be away and not with them. And we are in that time now. And we are in between that time of the coming of the kingdom originally and for us individually to be put right with God and the fullness of the kingdom when everything will be sorted. So we still have disease, death, pain, suffering, hardship. We look for the time when justice, peace will prevail. We are in this in-between time, and we are like the servants in the story. How are we using our time? The story tells us that ultimately there will be a rolling up, there will be a day of reckoning. And for each one of us, if we have committed our lives to God, how are we spending our time? Where are our priorities? What we decide today and how we live our lives for however long we've got left really, really matters. Yes, salvation is ours, as it was for Zacchaeus. But I suspect that Zacchaeus went on and lived a life that everyone knew about. How are you living your life? Is today the day when you need to think about what's going? Are you ready, committed, working for the kingdom of God? Are you kind of hoping it'll never happen? Or maybe you're just trying to keep your head down, out of the way. How will you react today? You know, I said that Jesus was in Jericho with his disciples, and he'd already told them he was going up to Jerusalem. Now, yesterday, some people walked from Folkestone to Canterbury. It's about 20-odd miles. The distance from Jericho to Jerusalem is about 20-odd miles. The difference is that while Jericho is at minus 250 metres, Jerusalem is at plus 750 metres. So in other words, that's 1,000 metres of ascent. And the tallest mountain in England isn't even 1,000 metres tall. So whereas Canterbury, it's probably 15 metres of ascent from Folkestone, it's a bit further. And this is what the walk up to Jerusalem would have been like. It's a slog. It's through the desert. It's hard, it's hot, and you're climbing. It's a dangerous road. This is the road where Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan. It was a dangerous road. You were exposed, and it was a tough walk. And you went up and up and up. And eventually you came up and you would get to the Mount of Olives, and as you went over the Mount of Olives, you would get a view of Jerusalem. That's the view for today, of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. It would have been rather different in Jesus' time. But you get this view of Jerusalem. Now, when the disciples went up the hill, when they climbed all the way up, that is the point when Jesus went into the into Jerusalem on a donkey, what we think of as Palm Sunday. And we haven't got time to look at all of that now, but there is one little bit that Luke captures, which none of the other people who write about this, they capture it. Because it says, when he gets to this point where he can see Jerusalem, he's come over the brow of the hill and suddenly it's there. It says this in verse 41. It said, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. It says that Jesus wept. And he wept because Jerusalem, both corporately and individually, failed to recognize. Less than 40 years after this time, Jerusalem was ransacked. The Jews rebelled against the Romans, and the walls were pulled down, the temple was destroyed. And the only bit that was left now is what's called the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And destruction came upon the city. And Jesus knew that was going to happen. And we don't know what the future holds for us. But I want to just leave you with that thought, that Jesus, who knew, he knew what was happening and he knew what was going to happen. He knew that salvation could come today, but the fullness was going to be some way in the future when Jesus comes again. And the challenge is to us, to every one of us, is just as he said then, if you, even you, had known in this day what would bring you peace. So my challenge to all of us is today. Wherever we are, let's not put it off. Whether we are have never given our lives to God and we're thinking about it today. Whether we're going at half pace as a Christian today. Whether we've been challenged on something and we're putting it off today. Because Jesus wept over Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen, knowing what was the tough times ahead. Let us remember that. As he went on to say, if they'd only known, if they'd only responded, if they'd only responded,